faith out of chapter 11. And last week I just loved reading and studying those men that were, their names were etched into the scripture in Hebrews 11, which is known as a great chapter of faith throughout the whole Bible. And then to look back in the Old Testament to see the things that they did to and have that faith be recognized by God himself and for their names to be written in that portion of the Word of God. And I was thinking about faith, and I was thinking about how sometimes we just think one thing, but really it's another. And I thought about the concept of expectation. And you know, if you don't have expectation for something, you'll get exactly that. You'll get nothing. If you're not expecting something great, you will not get anything. If you expect nothing, you will get nothing. I use just a little metaphor today. You know, this morning, if I ever go into the polka dot restaurant, how many of you know what the polka dot is? Come on. I don't go in there anymore because everything, it's good, but it's dipped in grease four times and then fried. That's why it's so good. But I just don't go in there anymore. I like to go in there. But when I go in there, my expectation is not, they don't meet me at the door there and say, "Welcome, Mr. McDonald. We're glad you're here. Which table would you like today?" That's not what it is. So my expectation, when I walk in there, I know the floor is going to be dirty. I know I'm going to come out smelling like grease. I know when I come back to the office, all the girls are going to say, "We know where you've been. You've been to the polka dot. We can smell it on you. You can't get away. You can run, but you can't hide." That's what I expect. I expect, though, what the food's going to be. It's going to be, you know, you're going to get a cheeseburger and French fries and gravy on it. Oh, glory to Jesus. Come on now. I better hurry up and get through this message. The polka dot's going to have a run on them today. But I get what I expect. But if I want to go somewhere nice, if I want to take Patty out for a great dinner somewhere and just celebrate her and bless her, I'll call ahead. I'll make a reservation. I want to talk to the person in charge. I said, "Now listen, I'm bringing my wife. She's the most special person in the world to me. And I pay and I tip. And so I want the best table. I want the best waiter or waitresses. I want candle lit over in the corner. I want the ambiance. I want you to adjust the lights just right. I want this kind of music playing and that kind of music. I want it right." Yes, sir, Mr. McDonald. And when I go into that restaurant and I welcome Mr. McDonald, "We've been expecting you. We have your table ready." And there'll be somebody standing there. They'll have a nice towel folded over their arms. "Yes, sir, what can I get you?" I expect that. How many of you are hungry right now? How many of you want to go to dinner with me sometime? Come on. I have that expectation that this is going to happen. And then my expectation is that she's going to be overjoyed from that. My part, and I digress just a moment, but I live my life trying to amaze my wife. Do I do a good job, baby? You ought to get up and just wave at me a little bit right there if I'm telling the truth. And she has that expectation in me now. I just can't be, you know, just any kind of person. You know, if I'm going to do something like that, she knows I'm going to do it. She's learned to have this expectation of what I'm going to do for her. And I feel bad for people in life that they go through life with no expectation. I was thinking earlier about one of the saddest times in my life is when I was a little boy and we didn't have nothing. I mean, the poor people called us poor. Now, Robin Brill, she lived on the other side of the tracks. They were the rich people. The Mechanic Street Boys, we were the poor people. And we didn't have a bike. That was just a joke. I like to mess around with Robin like that. But this one, I'm telling you, is no joke. I didn't have a bicycle. I mean, if our neighbors had a bicycle and they'd let us ride it a little bit, it would be just awesome. And one day my mom said to me, my dad was gone, you know, we'd lost sister, my brother. We were in a painful time, and we didn't have a bicycle. And she said, "Today, we're gonna go to a bike shop." I got so excited. I can even tell you the name of it. It was Sparky's Bike Shop on the Ladue Road in North Byron. Anybody ever heard of that? I saw some hands in the front. Yeah. And so we went down there, and I mean, nothing in the world could have excited me more than to walk into that. Oh, it was a candy store, bicycles everywhere, and some new. I didn't care what if it had two wheels on it and there were air in the tires. I was excited. And we're looking at the bikes, and he's pulling this one out. Oh, this is nice. You're pulling this one. I could make this would be. And I got the bike, and I looked at it, and I sat on it. Man, it was so beautiful. This is probably 45 years ago. And I looked up and I said, "Mom, this is the one." And she looked back at me and she said, "We're not buying a bike." I said, "What?" She said, "No, honey, I don't have any money." And she didn't. I didn't know, you know, I thought going to the bike shop, I thought I'm going to get a bike. My expectation was through the roof. How many of you know what I'm talking about right now? And you know what? From that experience, and I cried. I mean, I remember going home. And she felt bad because she didn't know it was going to have that effect on me. She thought she'd just take me, you know, and we'd dream a little bit. And it was probably all right. She probably should have told me ahead of time, "You can look, but we're not bringing one home." You know, when I raised my kids up, if you said maybe to them, that was a yes. And that broke my heart. And from that point on, you know, I just discovered this. I was contemplating this week, that because those things happen in our lives, we lose the hope of expecting anything. And we put our hope in people and things and experiences, thinking, this is it. This is going to be it. Only to find out that we get our hearts broken and we get thrown to the ground. And however you want to describe it, you lose the ability to expect anything anymore. And to the fact, many people say, "I just don't expect anything anymore," which is a sad position in your life to live in, if that's you. Because God has called us to live with a heart of expectation. But let me explain it to you what it is. The Bible says in Psalm 62:5, he says, "My soul waits silently for God alone." He said, "For my expectation is from Him, not from any other." Because if you always are looking to somebody or something to fulfill your expectation, you might not be disappointed all the time, but I guarantee you, you're going to be disappointed most of the time. Can you hear me today? And this story of what this psalm comes from is from David in Samuel, 2 Samuel. If you read the account through 2 Samuel 15 through 20, and it's a sad time because his son Absalom had set out to take over his throne and had even mounted an army, a battle against his own father to take that over. And if you read the story, it's a sad account of how somebody out of character wants something so bad that they'll even go against the people that love them the most to get it. And let me tell you something today. And you read the end of the story, and Absalom ended dying, got caught in his hair in a tree, and people came and they killed him. Because when we always look to get what we want, when we want it and how we want it, we're going to be disappointed in some way, shape, or another. And we can look at all of the things that will help us. We can get all the counseling. We can complain. We can cry. We can manipulate all we want. But if your expectation is not in the Lord, if it's in something else or somebody else, listen, if you come to church here today and you, "Boy, I expect a great message. I expect," you might not get one. But if you come and you have your expectation in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never, ever be disappointed. Come on, can you say amen to that? And many people live their lives going from thing to thing, person to person, place to place, in relationship to relationship, because nobody can satisfy them. And that is true. No one can, but Jesus can satisfy you. And when your expectation is in Him and Him alone, my brothers and my sisters, your level of disappointment will disseminate greatly. You will not go through the things that you have always gone through. When I look at others to fulfill what's lacking in me or what my wants or desires are, I am inevitably discouraged and disappointed. When I look to someone else to fulfill something, to do something, even in, as much as I love my wife and worship the ground that she walks on, I do not look to her as my only fulfillment in my life, because she was not born to meet every one of my needs. Now listen, she meets most, but she doesn't meet all, because my expectation at the end of the day doesn't dwell solely on her. It dwells on Him. And when I wait patiently for Him, I find that place of expectation in Him. In fact, if you don't spend the time to wait on Him and to sit in silence and to pray and to ask Him what He wants, you won't live with a sense of expectation. I want to encourage you today. The scripture goes on to say in verse 6, He said, He is my rock. He only is my rock. Only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. My brothers and my sisters, when our desires are not from God, we will have a tendency to drift into the things that we want. And we want only. And there's nothing wrong with you and I having desires. But if it is not birthed out of that place of intimacy with Him, your desires at best will be skewed. But when you're in that presence, you're with God, and you hear His voice, He will communicate to you. He will literally change the attitude of your heart. And He will place inside of you some desires, some dreams, some hopes, some aspirations that you'll never attain to in your own strength. I was sitting at the table this week. I went to a college and career conference in Rochester. And they had brought in Pastor Matthew Barnett from the Dream Center in L.A. And they called me and they asked me if I'd go and pick him up, because we're friends and I've had a relationship with his family, and they're great people. And I'm sitting there at the table with him, and he's saying, "Marty, tell me about a little bit about your life. You grew up." And I begin to share with him just a little bit, that he and I have not had that one-on-one intimate conversation. You know, I see him, you know, relatively often. He's preached at one of the Man Time. I see him at his father's church in Phoenix all the time. And we've been to the Dream Center. Garrett spent 10 months, as well as did Shandy there. And they're doing a great work out there. As I begin to tell him that, and I begin to share that with him, you know, a few months ago, he had asked me to come and preach at the Dream Center at Angelus Temple. Now, I was surprised. I shared that in a leader meeting a couple of weeks ago. Some of the leaders didn't know who it was. The Angelus Temple is probably, if not the, one of the most historic churches, not only in the country, but maybe in the world, that was built during the time of the Depression by a woman whose name was Amy Semple McPherson. And she had a gifting and a calling on her that was none such. As a little girl, she answered the call of God in her life and began to preach the gospel, and she saw great things happen. And in those late 20s and 30s, when they built that largest church building at that time in the world, she would be out preaching the gospel everywhere, all over the world, and people would give so they could build this building, feeding 20, 30,000 people a day during the Depression. Had the first radio station, the Christian radio station in the world at that time, right off of that building, right on top. And Pastor Barnett had asked me to come and preach there. Let me tell you something. My prayer is not, oh God, I want to go and preach at that. My prayer has always been and will continue, God, use me in a powerful way. God, use me in a way that will amaze me. Lord, take me to places that I could only dream of. And you know what happens when my expectation is not in somebody else to manipulate? God brings about in my life opportunities, places, things like this that you can only dream of. Come on, I'm a little boy from the backside of the tracks in South Byron going to the big city in L.A. to preach the gospel where likes like T.D. Jakes, Joyce Myers, T.L. Osborne, and all these great people over time have preached in that pulpit. And your little pastor, well, not little, but you guy from South Byron, because his expectation comes from God. Come on, give God a praise. You can't manipulate it, and if you do, you will get a counterfeit of what God's best is for you. If you try to put that on other people, they better let me do this, I better get this, I better go here, I better go there, you'll be disappointed at best, because people cannot do for you like Jesus can do for you. Nobody can do me like Jesus. Oh, amen. I'm going to sing right now if I had more of a voice in me. But happiness does not come when your flesh continually leads you into always wanting something other than what God has for you. Come on, and it could be good, but if God is not in it, it will not be the best for you. God prearranges things and opportunities for you and I that we don't even know about today. I could go over in this building. I could talk to people. I could tell you things where God has brought people in the last 6 months, year, 3 or 5 years that never thought they would be doing what they were. It's not necessarily, and I'm all for goals and dreams, and I believe in all that, and I do that. But at the end of the day, you got to sometimes cast all that aside and put your expectation in God, because He can do things that no one else can do. And you have to, and I must, let Him mess up your schedule, mess up your goals, mess up everything, so that He can give you the very best of what He has planned for you. Woo! Now I just feel like that right now. And when I do just everything that I want, or that somebody else thinks that I should have, listen, I don't want what everybody else wants for me. I want what He has for my life. If I wanted what God's plan was for your life, He would have made me like you. If He wanted me skinny, He wouldn't have given me the perfect body that I had. If He wanted me to be bald, He wouldn't have placed hair on my head. But He made me in His image and His likeness. He made me perfect in His sight. He put me where He wanted me to be. And the Bible says in Psalm 37:4, to delight yourself. For you to delight yourself. For you to be baptized into loving Him and waiting upon Him. Delight yourself in the Lord. And then He gives you the desires of your heart. Come on, how many of you know we've wanted a whole lot of things in the flesh that if we got everything we asked God for, we'd be in a world of hurting? You know, if I married every woman when I was a kid that I dated, I'd have 20 wives by now, and none of them would have made me happy. Come on, that's reality. I told my wife a few weeks ago, she said, what do you want for dinner? Well, I said, what I want is this, but what I'm going to eat is a salad with chicken. Praise the Lord. How many of you just love chicken? Oh, thank God for chicken. Yeah, eat more chicken. But I don't just want what I want. I want what God wants for me. Because now my expectation is from Him. And Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I'll answer you. Here's the key. Call to Him and I'll answer, and I will show you great and mighty things. I will show you. Jesus said, I no longer call you slaves, but I call you my friends, and I will disclose all things to you that my Father has told me. I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. We don't know everything that He has for us. and we think about the experience that he's brought us here. We think maybe your life is over. Maybe you've only reached so far. Maybe you could never do what you're doing. Listen, if you would have told me a year ago that I would be at this point right now, because my son Ben and Ryan aren't in that gym with me, but I'm going to be the strongest guy in my gym right now at 58 years old. My expectation is not in my own ability. My expectation is from Jesus Christ and Him alone. And when we put it in Him, He'll take you and elevate you to experiences and places that you couldn't even dream about. Come on, say amen to that. You have to expect something, though, for your life. You have to expect that when you trust the Lord, that your life doesn't have to stay the way it is, that it can be changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old is gone. Behold, all things have become new. We have to expect that he will keep us safe. Psalm 91:2, he's my refuge, my fortress, and in God I will trust. Some of you are here today. Your life is ridden with fear. But if you would put your hope and your expectation in him, he'll lift you out of that, because the Bible says in 2 Timothy that he's not given you and I the spirit of fear again to bondage, but he's given you the spirit of power. He's given you the spirit of love. He's given you the spirit of a sound mind, that you can be free from fear in your life, because he will protect you. He will keep you safe. The Bible says in Psalm 91, he will give his angels charge over you, keeping you in all of your ways. How many of you are thankful for the working of God in your life? And lastly, if I am his only, I only want what he has and wants for me. Not what I want, but what he wants. I've told the story. I was telling it a while ago. One of the things that just solidified my love for one of my pastors, Pastor Tommy Barnett, so much was when he told the story at pastor's school. He was telling it to about 5,000 pastors and leaders of how all of his life he had a desire for a red convertible sports car. He said, it was just one of those things inside of me that I wanted all my life. And he said, a few years ago, there was a couple that had been in our church, he said, for years. And the husband had died and left us quite a large sum of money to the wife. And after a few weeks after the funeral, a few months had gone by, the woman comes up to him and says, Pastor, God is going to give you that desire of your heart. And he wasn't sure. And then she made an appointment and came in. She said, Pastor, I want you to know that I feel like God has spoken to me to buy you that red convertible that you want. And he said, well, you know, that's very nice of you. He didn't think much of it. She left. She makes an appointment 2 weeks later. She comes in. She holds out the keys. She said, Pastor, I want you to look out the window. And he looked out the window. And there sat a red, brand new Mercedes convertible. Just beautiful, holding those keys up. She said, Pastor, this is yours. Now listen to me now. He said he took those keys, hugged her neck, said, oh, Sister, how sweet and how kind is this of you? I mean, this is wonderful. He paused and he took those keys and he held them back and put them in her hand. He said, I know that you heard from God, but he said, I believe that I'm hearing from God today that God wants you to have this car. She goes, oh no, Pastor, this is your. He said, no, listen to me. He said, I really believe that God wants you to have this car. I want you to take it. I want you to enjoy it. Prayed for her, blessed her. She wept a little bit. Okay, I understand. Walked out the door. He shut the door to his office. And he said he jumped up and down, jumped on his couch. He just began to shout and thank God. He said, God, you did say you give me the desire of my heart. But he said, you've changed my heart so much now that that doesn't compare with the desire that you have put in me to serve you with all of my heart and my life. Come on, are you listening to that today? Faith is living with an expectation. When David went out to fight Goliath, he wasn't prepared. They tried to put on another suit on him. It wasn't for him. He took it off. And when he went out and faced Goliath, David was maybe 5'7" tall, wearing, you know, shorts, t-shirt, and sneakers. Here comes Goliath, Some historians say between 9 and 12 feet tall. Nobody really knows. Goliath is out there cussing at him, telling who sent out this little squirt. And you know what David said? Because his expectation wasn't in his ability. He said, you come against me. He looked at Goliath. And some of you need to do this in your life. You got Goliaths in your life that are staring you down. They're taunting you. They're at every turn. Every time that night time comes, Goliath pops his head out. He said, I don't come against you with a spear and a sword. But he said, I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He wound up that slingshot and he planted that in the forehead of that big uncircumcised Philistine. And when he fell down and hit the ground, devil shuddered from hell and back because the enemy has now been defeated, because David's expectation was not in himself, but it was in the power of God himself. Come on, are you listening to me today? Jesus faced two blind men and he said, do you believe that God can make you well? And they said, I do believe. They had an expectation. The story in the New Testament about the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says that she spent all her money on what everybody else could do for her. And she didn't do it. And she came to the place in her life where she said, if I could only touch his hem, I have an expectation in the Lord. And the Bible says that she pushed through the crowd and she touched him, and he stopped and he asked his disciples, who has it that has touched me? I want the music folks to come back right now. Who was it that touched me? And his disciples said, people all around you. What do you mean, who touched you? There's all kinds of people touching you. He said, no, someone touched me because they had an expectation. They had a hunger. They believed that God was going to do something. The Bible says at that very moment, she was healed. She was made 100% well. Come on today. What do you believe in God for? Have you lost that in your life today? Have you just lost it totally where you don't have any expectation for him in your life anymore? Because if you're in that place today, he wants to change that in your life. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head all over the house today. I don't want anyone moving. It's not a time for you to leave. We're going to be done here in just a few minutes. I want you to respect the Holy Spirit. But if you're here today, you've never given your heart to Jesus. You need to do that right now. Right now, you don't need to wait another minute. You don't need to wait for somebody to give you a special invitation. If you're empty in your heart today, and I'm going to get to those of you who are, you're away from God, but I'm talking about the person that's never made a decision for Christ. You need to do that today, right where you're at. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to take over my life, take over my heart, forgive me of my sin. I'm going to begin to live for you. Your eyes are closed, your head's bowed. If you're here today, you're just existing. You have no hope, you have no expectation, you're cold, you lost faith, you're waiting for somebody to do something for you, and all the time, Jesus is there saying, come unto me, come to me. If you're burdened down, if you're heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Hallelujah. I want the prayer folk to come real quick down the front. I'm going to close in just a moment. I'm going to invite you today, though, if you need help in your life in any way, if you gave your heart to Christ, I want you to tell somebody about it. If you're just cold, some of you are going to get up and leave out of here and you're not going to respond to this because it's not what you do. And you can go and you can continue to live like that. Empty, broken, cold, numb. But Jesus says today, this is your time. This is your moment. Bring it to him. Let somebody agree with you together. There's something about you stepping out as an act of faith in obeying him. I can't explain it all to you, but I just know that there's something about acting in faith and trusting him and believing him for it. Father, I ask you to do what you can only do, mighty work by your Holy Spirit today. I pray for my brothers and sisters, from the youngest to the oldest. there's a teenager here. The Lord just prompted on me. You're cold. That's the word that came to me. It's like you're numb. You're a teenager. I might know you. I might not know who you are. But God has a great plan for your life. Amy Semple McPherson, when she was a little girl, answered the call of God. Just responded in a little church service, about a quarter of the size of this one. And changed her life and changed the world. Maybe I'm talking to you today. Maybe the enemy has brought an attack against you so bad because he knows the potential that lies within you. Get someone to pray with you this morning. I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to open up the altar. And if I've been talking to you, I want you to come. If not, I love you. God bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving your Son that we can live and have life. Lord, our expectation today is in you. We trust you. We love you. We commit to you today. Fresh and anew. I ask you to move upon your people. I ask you to lay your hand upon them now. For some, Lord, I know it's their day. For some, I know it's their time. They're not going to go into another holiday season broken and alone and hurting and reflecting over the past and what they haven't got. But Lord, because of your working in their heart today, everything changes. Lord, I declare blessing, hope, and life over my brothers and sisters today. In Jesus' name I ask it. And everybody said amen. I love you. If you need...